labor, as well as the, I'm trying to check, as well as the ESCOM.
Recording in progress.
Leadership. I don't know if the executive is present. I ignore them. We are having this joint committee, and I was told that I must do the opening part of it. I'm instructed by the chairperson of public enterprises. so I had to take the instruction on them without grievance, because I'm sure he's using some degree of traditional authority as a big brother. So I had to obey his instruction for this meeting. Can I check, are there any apologies, honorable members from public enterprise, any apologies?
Chair, from public enterprises, I haven't received apologies for today's meeting.
Mineral Resources and Energy.
Good morning, honorable members. Chair, we've got apology from honorable Zungula and apology from my colleague Ariko, who might not be able to join this meeting due to load shedding since last night. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. I doubt
it's Chairperson. Chairperson, good morning. Sorry, it's Farad Isaac. Chairperson, Honorable Khalid Kachalia did present his apologies in advance. Please, if that can be recorded. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Without any further delay, the other big apology we have to make is that we had scheduled the meeting for 9 to 12:30 at maximum. It would have been 1 o'clock. Unfortunately, Parliament has scheduled the debate now at 11. So it means we have to do our level best to attend to bear with me. So we have to try and rush up, finish the meeting probably by 10:30 to allow members to prepare for the debate in the NA. So we will request that also when we make our inputs, we try and be as economic as possible so that we allow also other members to be able to participate and also agree on what will be the way forward. We have been given the presentations by ESCOM, but this is a continuation of a meeting that we were unable to resolve some of the issues due to time constraints that we had at Quebec. And therefore, we will want to just check with the union in 10 minutes a recap from their side on the issues that they raised. They don't have to reinvent the wheel, but also on new developments, if there are any other matters that they will want to present for the attention of the two committees. I hope I'm correct, co-chair, on that approach. Is NUM present in the meeting?
Good morning, Chair. Yes, Chair, NUM is present. Okay, my name is Pumzile Mvovo,
okay.
The full-time shop steward of the Western Cape.
Okay. Can we, Chair, we agree, can we give NUM 10 minutes to recap and then we'll go to ESCOM?
Yes, I think that's the right approach.
Okay, NUM. My time on my side, not your side, since it's 9:05. So at 16 minutes past nine, I will be allowing the ESCOM to come in. Can you just recap for the committee? Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members. We got the response from ESCOM and we prepared some responses to it. And in essence, we are saying that the NUM agrees that this project is a critical enabler, hence the concerns raised. It is understood by our members that there was no deficiency that could have caused any reason to postpone the project from outage 225. The postponement needs to be seen in context. There has been serious project interference by the ESCOM COO on regarding payments to Framatome that culminated into individuals being suspended for not acting on agreements between the ESCOM COO and the CEO of Framatome. In the press statement by the COO of ESCOM, he stated the reasons for postponement as an ESCOM delay, while now we see that it is mentioning Framatome as a contributing factor in the delay in this response. The background, since the project's inception, there has been excessive interference, Chair, by ESCOM executive and notions to pay additional large sums beyond the contract value. Our members were informed that the COO agreed on investigating payments options in a meeting held with the contractor on the 2nd of November, 2021. In fact, the Framatome project manager informed ESCOM SGR project manager that the quantum and payment dates have been agreed to, totaling up to 50 million euros. Now, payment to alleviate the Framatome cash flow concerns. And this payment would be effected in two transactions before December and in January 2022. So the COO was on break when the ESCOM team did not action and realize this payment. Sorry?
It's, I think there's an order.
Yes, no. Greetings, Chair, and everyone on the platform. Chair, I just wanted to check if Labour does not have a presentation to flight on their responses.
No, they can send the presentation. Remember, they had already given us their presentation. We were just saying they must recap. Then they say they do have something in writing that they can give. Then in the meantime, they can be sending, but they are doing what they did. We are giving them an opportunity to recap on what they presented and tell us if there are any new developments. But I'm sure they will be able to forward their response also in writing.
Yes, Chair, we'll be able to do that.
Okay.
So we are saying the COO was furious when the ESCOM team did not action and realize this payment, stating that in his own words, what you get when you pay peanuts, you get monkeys. Those were his verbatim words. The original steam generator were agreed to be stored in the when we talk about facilities, the original steam generators were agreed to be stored in the existing licensed low-level waste building at Kube. But due to the unacceptable build-up of nuclear waste in this building is full to the brim. So to a point where even freight containers are being used to store nuclear waste. The project team consisting of our members had no choice but to make a contingency plan by constructing a separate facility At one stage, this facility was awaiting NNR approval for construction. Upon NNR licensing approval for construction, on the NNR questioning the progress, the COO responded that our members in the project team committed a critical violation and will be dealt with. This caused at least 6 months delay on the progress of the contingency. Despite all these setbacks, the building was ready to receive the steam generators by 11th of March 2022, well in time for the project to go ahead. Now, ESCOM management has been involved and informed of all aspects of this project when we talk about the 650 million order that they spoke about. They have been involved and informed of all aspects of this project, and our members have not been informed of these poor alleged practices. The 650 million order, Chair, was well documented, and the executives appraised on the risk of this dispute, including agreement to appoint a legal firm to support ESCOM in international arbitration processes. The fact that this provisional payment was not reflected on the ESCOM books should be explained by ESCOM management. Why can only we can only deduct from that this was hidden by management not to reflect on the ESCOM bottom line? Although there has been numerous investigations around this project, Chair, we have counted 8 to be exact. 8 investigations around the removal of this project, bearing in mind that it was never our members' intention to remove the project at all. Our members were ready to continue the project and hold Aframatome accountable. Ever since then, 8 investigations were done. A Tom Skinner investigation, a forensic investigation, financial investigation by Renee Ovis, Nexco in introspection together with Dr. Willem Jomslunga, a Devon Way investigation by Kerry Bethel, a governance investigation by Gordon Wood, board investigation, Danny Muller plus HKA on the contract management investigation, all these investigations to investigate a removal of the project that our members were never in agreement to. And yet, they are still suspended. The NUM believes this suspension is unfair, very discriminatory, and advised to assist our members to take the matter to the CCMA. It is clear that the decision to postpone the project was not made by the project manager. This decision led to ESCOM probably losing billions of rands, which could have been avoided in compensations. It therefore begs the question whether this postponement has not been a script to facilitate payment agreements between executives. The NUM is aware and has proof that the GCE agreed to a press statement 2 weeks prior to the COO making the public announcement that the ESCOM is deferring the SGR project to the next outage due to ESCOM not being ready. The executive agreed to outage 225, starting with SGR, knowing all the employer's risk for several months. Project weekly reports were provided to keep the executives fully appraised, but strung the project team along by insisting on optimized plans to be negotiated. The project influence is therefore much more pronounced at executive and management level. That is, Mr. Jan Oberholzer, Frikkie Ellis, Ridwan Pagadin, Peter Leroux, Danny Muller, Sadika Tofi, and the PSM of the power station, Mahesh Valaitam. The NUM is aware also, Chair, of the extended outage delay beyond the original 22nd of June 2022 at Kubek. And was informed that the bulk of these delays were as a result of Framatome work not completed as planned. In fact, Unit 2 was still in outage as far back as last Friday, the 23rd of September, after brief operations interrupted by a serious reactivity incident when a control rod dropped. It is believed that this cause was due to the latching off mechanism recently replaced by the very same framatome. The SGR project was planned to detail to be complete by worst case scenario the 23rd of July, but the best case scenario the 11th of July 2022. At the end of the day,
It's 1 minute left, NUM.
Okay. At the end of the day, the first synchronization was only on the 7th of August and not the 22nd of June as planned. So in all honesty, if we did include this project, it would have been done by now. These facts have been known well in advance. In fact, we have known for a long time that SG number 6 will arrive in December 2022 earliest. There can be no justifiable reason for suspending staff to investigate these matters, which were known and agreed beforehand. Originally, all three SGs should have been delivered and installed in 2018, a condition on which Framatome won the bid. No one believes that this is one of very few ESCOM projects that has been properly managed within the original budget and no additional funds requested prior to the COO to defer. Framatome was held accountable.
Thank you very much, NUM. Sorry, can you try and forward with speed that presentation to the Secretariat? And then can you, Secretariat, forward that as soon as you receive, forward it to honorable members?
We'll do so, Chair. Thank you.
Okay. GCO, I see you. If I'm wrong, I can't see the executive, so I assume you are leading the delegation. Oh, I see Professor Makhoba. Chair, I hope I'm correct. Can I give it to you then? Are you not set the two for the presentation?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear and see you.
Okay, now I can just about see. I've been struggling. No, I'm not load-shedded. I've just managed to join now. I've been struggling from about 5 to 9 or so to try and join the meeting.
Sure.
Honorable member.
Yes, I just wanted to check if ESCOM will be presenting on the presentation that was shared now at 8:30.
I would know Can I check with the Secretariat first? Hold on a bit, Prof.
Okay, all right.
There is a concern that the report was presented today at 8:30.
Yes, Chair, we received the presentation from Public Enterprise Committee at that time, 8:30.
Public Enterprise Secretariat?
Can you please come in?
Ayanda? Yeah, I think you should make the GC and Ms. Natasha Sitole the host.
Okay, we'll do.
The concern is that the The report has only been received this morning. I don't want to respond on behalf of the CEO or can you clarify the issue of the report?
Chair, I can clarify. Lebohang Pikan is my name. I'm the PLO for Public Enterprises. Can I clarify that part, please?
No. Let me deal with the central transfers first, but let me give you, maybe you will help them.
Okay, Chair. I just wanted to indicate that what was circulated this morning, it is just a presentation. It's in a presentation form. Otherwise, the report itself was circulated last week. So all that was done yesterday was to put it in the presentation format. It doesn't change what has been submitted last week, Chairperson. I thought the son would clarify that part. Thanks, Chairperson.
Okay. The son. I didn't want to say so. If by chapter that Honorable Langa didn't receive the report.
Oh, no, Chair, the report was received last week. It wasn't in a presentation format, as said. It was a written document that responded to NOOM, and it was circulated. I'm not sure if there are members who have not received it. I sent it out last week. And then the one that arrived this morning was a presentation for them for today, but I guess it's the format that might have changed. I'm not sure about the content because I received it just before the meeting. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. I wanted to say so and say maybe Honorable Laga did not receive it. I did receive the report almost last week, but I was also looking at the report. It was responding to NUM. But with an initial report about a month or so ago that was submitted, which I thought it was going to be the part that is given in. I think Honorable Lang or any member who did not receive that report, let's extend our apology and then deal with the matter where it is appropriate to deal with. Apologies if you did not receive the report.
Can I come in, Chair?
Yes, Honorable.
Yes. Even if we did receive the report, now if we only receive the presentation in the morning, remember we have to go through the presentation as well to see if it reflects now, because there was maybe no time to see even this presentation that was sent this morning, Chairperson. So that's where the concern is here.
That is noted. Sometimes people, there is something that they do, and I think it's an issue that we must deal with it also at a level of the individual committees. Sometimes it's what people will do when they prepare the report. They do a report. They then prepare a summary of what is in the report in the form of the presentation. But I think your point, it is noted for what you are raising. But can we give then ESCOM to do a summary of the report? And then please let's try and attend to that for future references. Yes, ESCOM?
Thank you, honorable members of both portfolio committees. From our point of view, we are understanding that this presentation or this meeting is supposed to respond to issues that are related, I think, to the Quebec matters that relates to some NUM queries that have come to the portfolio committee, and they were not addressed adequately previously in the meeting that was between ESCOM and yourselves. And this is an opportunity, I think, to deal with those issues today. I think the ESCOM team should be available at this point, led by Andre De Reiter and Jan Oberholzer and Mel Govender and others. So I will hand over the matter to Andre, But the important thing, I think, is to address specifically the issues that the portfolio committee has raised rather than go all over the place. It's been a struggle, I think, to join this Teams meeting, and I'm not sure why, because we've been using it. But be that as it may, we are now here, and maybe let's deal with the issues that the portfolio committees have requested us to address. Andre?
Thank you very much, Prof. Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Thank you for the opportunity to present to you today. We did prepare a PowerPoint presentation, which is a summary for the convenience of members. I can give you the assurance that it is identical in content to the documents that were submitted last week already to the committee, but if there is a reluctance among the committee to consider the PowerPoint presentation, then we can refer to the written report, Honourable Chair. So if you could perhaps just give me guidance, if it's acceptable to present the abbreviated version contained in the presentation.
No, just, you know, I said continue with the, but in future we will have to get both of them in a on time. But because here now we say the period has been cut off by the plenary planned by Parliament, which we are not anticipating. Hence, the time is shorter on your side, and it is shorter even on the side of numbers. So continue with the presentation.
All right. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair, for that guidance. Natasha, can you please share the presentation? Honourable Chair, we have endeavoured to respond to the questions raised at the previous joint session, and we have therefore dealt not only with matters raised by the National Union of Mine Workers, but we've also dealt with other matters, and again, we beg your guidance on how to proceed so that we can make optimal use of the committee's time in dealing with these matters. To start off with, I think it's important to give the background context, also in view of the statements made by the NUM representative, to give an update on the steam generator replacement project, to fully inform the committee. And for this purpose, I'm going to ask our Chief Nuclear Officer, Mr. Keith Featherston, to please share with us an update on where we are and the various issues that have led to the disciplinary action being taken. Keith, if you can proceed, please.
Okay, I hope you can hear me. As mentioned by Andre, honourable members, I'm Keith Featherston, the acting Chief Nuclear Officer, and I'll try to provide a very brief summary of the SGR saga as detailed in the report. So to start with, the steam generator replacement project is an essential part of the life extension of Kooburg. We've been talking about this project since 2010, so it's been on the cards for a long time. The scope of the last pre-fueling outage on Unit 2 originally included the replacement of the steam generators. Unfortunately, during the outage, Eskom had to remove the project from outage 2 to 5 due to several serious deficiencies in the project management of the project, which had already materialized in delays in the outage and which were resulting in significant delays to the completion date being projected. Eskom could not, and the country could not, accept these extended dates on the return to service of the unit. Both Eskom and the contractor contributed to these project management deficiencies, which has resulted in several compensation events and disputes having been lodged, which are currently being addressed. The main arguments against Eskom by the contractor are associated with the facilities that were not ready. Like I mentioned before, this project has been on the go for a long time. There was actually no excuse from an Eskom point of view for these facilities not to be ready. So Eskom is finding itself on a very difficult position to actually defend some of these compensation debts. When having to unexpectedly make provision to pay the 650 million compensation event that had to be done from a court order against Eskom, The Generation Board initiated an independent investigation into the project, which is expected to be completed by the end of this month. Three senior employees associated with the project were placed on precautionary suspension with full pay to enable the investigation to proceed unhindered. The removal of the steam generator project from the outage required the outage to be completely replanned, and the final scheduled end date ended up to be very similar to the original plan. That was due to the amount of work that we had to do to return the plant to the state prior to the start of the work on the steam generator replacement, and the inspections that had to be done to inspect the steam generators that we were not removing. However, during the startup phase, emergent technical issues resulted in a delay in the return to the unit of service, which happened only on 7 August 2022, as mentioned by NIM. If the steam generator replacement had not been withdrawn from the outage, based on the schedule tabled by the contractor, the Kuberg Unit 2 contribution to load shedding would have lasted much longer, because those delays during the startup phase would have happened irrespective of when we returned the unit being in a position to start the unit up. The steam generator replacements are now scheduled for outage 1 to 6 on Unit 1, which starts during December this year, and outage 2 to 6 on Unit 2, which is currently scheduled to start in October 2023. The change does not alter the overall life extension plan for Kuberg, but the compensation events and the contracted CPA adjustments will have an impact on the cost allocation, which is still in the process of being finalized. That ultimately, I think, is a fair, simple summary of where it is. We had delays. There was contribution on both sides of the fence. We have not made any allegations to any Eskom employees. We asked for an independent investigation to be completed. And once that investigation is complete, we'll assess what's been done and take any action stemming from that report going forward. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Keith. Honourable Chair, if we can then proceed to the structure of the relationship with the trade union, which I believe is quite important. As we say in our document, we absolutely respect the right of every citizen of South Africa to approach Parliament and to ventilate whatever grievances it may have. But in this instance, we are of the opinion that it may have been more appropriate for the recognized structures to be followed to elevate the matter to be addressed. I'm very pleased to note the statement made by the NUM representative that he is encouraging his members to approach the CCMA, which with respect we believe is the appropriate forum should any employee feel aggrieved at disciplinary action taken by the employer. We have a recognition agreement in place, and it's been in place since May 2000 to regulate our relationship. It is in full compliance with the provisions of the Labour Relations Act. There are various commitments to cooperate and work together, and this governs the relationship between the parties and how we interact with one another. Next slide, please. So we have a number of forums which meet on various frequencies in order to ensure that there's a structured engagement and that union members are continuously apprised of matters as it pertains to their members' interests, and that they can also have the opportunity to raise any matters of concern that they wish to discuss with management. There is also the option then for ad hoc meeting. So the point that we wish to make here, Honourable Chair, is that there is a well-established structure for raising grievances. In this regard, none of the structures had been consulted prior to the matter being raised directly with Parliament from a plant level, which with respect is quite unusual and is not procedural in accordance with the provisions of the recognition agreement. Next slide, please. So we would have expected the issues raised by NUM to have been raised through the Coburg Business Unit. And this is in order to ensure exactly that these matters can be ventilated and that matters can be escalated and coordinated. We find ourselves in a somewhat unusual position in that a senior manager who was a member of NUM faces a position in management at Coburg, but also at the same time a member of organized labor, which does create something of a risk that needs to be resolved. We find it rather peculiar that NUM chose not to utilize the participative structures, but rather raised the matter with parliamentarians at Coburg. And with respect, Honorable Chair, we would suggest that the committee should consider, if it so wishes, whether or not this particular hearing that is conducted creates a precedent for similar issues to be ventilated directly with Parliament rather than be raised through the appropriate structures. And that, of course, could lead to numerous matters being raised directly with Parliament rather than being escalated through recognized and agreed organized labor structures that have been in place for more than two decades. Next slide, please. Honourable Chair, we have in place a whistleblowing policy that protects whistleblowers. So we have absolute protection for whistleblowers. I'm going to ask Mr. Chris Beloy, who is the head of our forensics investigation unit, to briefly take us through the whistleblowing policy in order to give the committee comfort that, in fact, we do not operate on a basis of retribution or vengeance against whistleblowers, but we treat them respectfully and they are fully protected in accordance with the law of the land. Chris, please, if you can take us briefly through this slide.
Thanks, Andre. Good morning, the Honourable Chair and the Honourable Members. As Andre has indicated, I am Chris Baloyi. I am the head of forensics. It is correct, Honourable Chair, that we have within the organization the whistleblowing policy and the whistleblowing procedure. The purpose of these two documents being to govern the principles within which employees and stakeholders can be able to report known or suspected acts of fraud, corruption, financial and general irregularities within the organization, but doing so in good faith and in a responsible manner. That, Chair, is done in compliance with the Protected Disclosures Act, in which the facility, the fraud hotline, is managed by an independent company. And this is to entrench the protection of whistleblowers in that whatever reports that are made within the fraud hotline, the identities of the whistleblowers would never and are never disclosed to the organization, even to ourselves as the investigators. And that is over and above an internal facility that we have created through the department where employees can report directly to us within the department. The existence, Honorable Chair, of the Forensic and Anti-Corruption Department is established in terms of Treasury Regulation 33, which empowers the board to conduct investigations on suspected or known incidents of fraud and corruption. And this is important because our department reports functionally into the Audit and Risk Committee and only administratively to the GCE. The importance of this, Honorable Chair, is that there is very little room for management to influence the work that that the department does in respect of conducting fraud and investigation, which extend to the identity of whistleblowers, which are never revealed to management, either during the course of investigations or at the conclusion of investigations, because we believe that the platform needs to be maintained. for whistleblowers to freely report incidents of fraud and corruption. And there is no requirement, Honorable Chair, for people to disclose their identities or even to talk or consult with anyone, being the member of management, before they make such reports. And in order to ensure that every incident that is reported is accounted for, there's reference numbers that are issued to whistleblowers where they can call back to get feedback on what they have reported. And this also creates an environment that when somebody believes or claims to have made a report or a protected disclosure, they ought to have a reference number which can be verified in terms of what was reported. And as the custodian of those two policy instruments, the department, we facilitate the protection of whistleblowers should or in any events where somebody claims victimization or threats of physical harm to themselves as a result of having made a protected disclosure. Lastly, Honorable Chair, it is important that to differentiate between a disclosure and protected disclosure. And because protected disclosure has to satisfy the specific requirements that are provided for not only within the internal policy, but in the Protected Disclosures Act itself, in that it prescribes to the individuals or the individuals to whom such disclosures needs to be made. So I can confirm as I sit here, Honorable Chair, that as the department responsible for conducting fraud and corruption investigation and the custodian of this policy, we have in the past and continues to protect whistleblowers, and we do not disclose the identities of whistleblowers to ESCOM management. I thank you. Thanks, Andre.
Thank you very much, Chris. So in summary, Honorable Chair, if I can just make a couple of brief observations on the comments made by the NUM representative. Unfortunately, we were not provided with the submission prior to this meeting, so we will have to study it, and we will have to determine what our response will be. We are pleased that NUM agrees that Coburg is a national asset and that the extension of the lifetime of that plant is of critical importance. I think it's very important to emphasize that the NUM member in question, who is the grievant who has raised these allegations, is not only the contract manager for the steam generator replacement project, but also, Honorable Chair, he is the project manager. So the accountability for the delivery of the project very much rests with the individual in question. During a meeting of the ESCOM Generation Board, dealing specifically and exclusively with the steam generator replacement project, it became apparent to the board that the project had been extremely poorly managed, that there had been a number of deficiencies in basic project governance control measures, for example, maintaining an adequate claims register, managing claims by acknowledging them and rebutting them. This has severely compromised ESCOM's position with regard to defending those claims. The insinuations made by the NUM representative that there is somehow collusion between executive and the contractor in question. We are not aware of any of this, but if they have any evidence, again, we would submit that they are duty-bound to raise this through our whistleblower facility or whatever other platform they've got, but merely making vague and embarrassing allegations, Honorable Chair, simply is not enough to absolve a senior manager of accountability for underperformance. It is really quite an unusual situation where a senior manager, when held accountable for non-performance, then uses the offices of a trade union to represent him, not through the structures that are created and have been in place for more than two decades, but rather chooses to ventilate this matter through Parliament. And we think that that is regrettable, and we would really prefer to settle this matter through the existing channels. I may also point out that the individuals who have been suspended have suffered no prejudice. They are suspended with full pay while the investigation is being conducted. Perhaps the suspended individuals are concerned that during their absence, issues may be brought to the surface by the investigation. That is maybe true, that is maybe not true, but let the investigation run its course. We are more than happy to share the outcome of this investigation with the two committees, and we can then make available publicly what the findings are.
Sorry, that if your time is up.
All right, thank you, Honourable Chair.
You can, if there is any quick, just a second, few seconds.
Right, Chair, just to conclude then, we are committed to transparency. We will run this in a very open process, and whatever the findings are, we will make them public, and we will share them with the committees. So we've got absolutely nothing to hide, contrary to the impression created by the trade union. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Chief Executive and the Chairperson of the Board and the all other members of the Executive that has assisted with the presentation. Honourable Members, that is the presentation from Eskom in response to the position that was presented by National Union of Mine Workers. In essence, Honourable Members, Eskom is still adamant that the union can't speak directly to Parliament. I think that's what I'm hearing. I have strong views that perhaps I will have to wait for the members to present. Honorable Luzipo, who is my co-chair, is just taking care of a crisis at home. Apparently, is experiencing some sewage overflow, and a truck is making noise in his house. Perhaps he won't be able to speak on that side until that process has been completed. So far, let me give you, Honourable Members, who are part of this meeting. I will take one from one committee and one from another committee. Let me start with Honourable Mahlaule from the Mineral. Honourable Mahlaule.
What am I expected to do?
We are now responding, and I don't want to waste time of looking at people who are actually having hands. That's how I operate. I'm sorry, because that's how I operate in my committee, sir. If you're not ready, I can take another person. But I just, because I've got a list of all of you who are present in the meeting, I will chat to the public enterprise while you are organizing yourself.
Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Let me go to Honorable Kumede. Sorry, Honorable Mkwanazi. Sorry, Honorable Kumede. Honorable Mkwanazi.
Thanks, Chair. I hope I will not be cut off. Thanks, Chair. Good morning to you, the colleagues, Honourable Members, and the team from NYM and Eskom. Honourable Chair, taking from what you have said, maybe the issue of NUM presenting directly to ESCOM, directly to Parliament. I just have a few issues that need to be clarified before I go straight to the report. Firstly, Chair, I'm sorry about that. I'm going through my notes. Firstly, Chair, I just want to check, has NUM exhausted all the internal structures as indicated in the report within GOBEC? If yes, what is it that they got from there? If no, why? Maybe we can learn something from that process. Secondly, Chair, when we were at GOBEC, on the 9th end of April 2022, NUM strongly raised the issue of a nuclear operation license. I was looking at the report of ESCOM. If ESCOM can talk to that and the process and the progress on that issue, I'll be very covered. Thirdly, for me, Chair, NUM raised an issue of 8 investigations that has been for this project. I just want to find out from ESCOM to say what is those investigations and what are the results and why so many investigations and the time the money involved there. And what is it that they are benefiting out of it? What are the results? And what is that investigation is helping ESCOM in particular? I find it very disturbing from my side. Maybe until I got the details on it. Lastly, Chair, on the ESCOM report, on the steam generator replacement project, Bullet 8, it's talking about that delay increase the load shedding, which is the key component for stage 6 load shedding. Sitting here as the public representative, it's really worrying and alarming. And what is it that they are doing to make sure that they avoid that? And currently, what is it that they are doing to make sure that they avoid it, because that is so inconvenient, and it's talking to us as government in particular on managing the issue. For now, Chair, that will be my take. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Kwanazi. Honourable Milam.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I've got a couple of questions and they're directed to ESCOM, if I may. The first one is on the update of the steam generator project. On your slides, you indicate that the original cost estimate in 2010 was 20 billion rand. I'd like to know, what is the estimated cost of the life extension now in today's money, and whether or not a new business case has been submitted in terms of the life extension project, and if so, where that business case is in the process. Secondly, in terms of the life extension project itself, surely the non-replacement of the steam generator units in outage 225 has a knock-on effect on the overall timeline. And I'd like to know what the impact of that knock-on effect is. Then with regard to the cost of diesel, in your slides, you say that ESCOM could spend up to 2.4 billion rand a month on diesel for your OCGTs. Now, I assume that that's the maximum that can be used by those OCGTs in a month. Are you budgeting for that maximum, or are you budgeting for a different number, noting that your recent reports indicate that you have run out of funds for the purchase of diesel, or you are running out of funds for the purchase of diesel in the current financial year? My last question, Chair, is with regard to the president's announcement, the slides state that the National Electricity Crisis Committee works under the president, and since it is a presidential initiative, the documents generated by the National Electricity Crisis Committee are classified as secret. Now, I believe that when the president made the announcement, he said that it would be done in an open and transparent manner. How does that align with the documents of that National Electricity Crisis Committee, which I must point out accounts to absolutely nobody? There is no oversight committee over that National Electricity Crisis Committee. How does that align with the statement that documents are classified as secret? Thank you, Chairperson.
Okay, thank you so much, Honorable Milam. Honorable Komani.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to Honorable members and members of ESCOM and the NUF. Chair, I don't see any problem as to why ESCOM should be so disturbed by the fact that the NUM has approached Parliament for intervention, because they are also exercising their democratic right, and maybe they've got one reason or two. Maybe we may as well hear that from the NUM. And Chair, one would then have to ask, in terms of the nuclear license, how far is the process? What is happening there? And then, Chair, having heard that there are people who have been suspended with pay from ESCOM, and ESCOM, they're like saying that boldly, and we cannot have people being suspended for forever, with or without pay, because the processes should unfold. So ESCOM should tell us, for how long has those people been suspended? What is the status of the process, and when is it going to be finalized? And finally, Chair, in terms of the steam generators, what is the status given of this matter, given the fact that there are no funds? And equally, has ESCOM as well submitted a plan on how they would proceed with this matter? Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Honorable Mashaule.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to the Chair of the Board, Professor Makhoba, and his team. I just have one question, Chair, and it doesn't emanate from the presentation, but from what we read all over about ESCOM. That is it true that the team that came to team of engineers that came to South Africa to do maintenance of Quebec left because ESCOM was not ready, and they slapped the ESCOM team with the bill of more than 1 billion. That's the only question I want to ask, Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Let me go to Honorable Langa.
Thank you very much, Chair. My goes also straight to ESCOM. If I'm not mistaken, as we're doing the oversight, we were informed that on two units, each unit has about takes about three steam generators. So as it is, it was 6 generators to a value of 5 billion rand that were to be installed. I just wanted to check how far with that process, and also if that process, if those steam generators have been commissioned, will that have the relief on the supply of electricity from Eskom? Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Vulmana, Vulmaren.
Thanks, Chair, and good morning to both the chairpersons, the committee members, and all the people on the platform. Chairperson, only a also one question, as I've been covered to some extent. I wanted to check during the oversight in April, and the item that deals with the exodus of nuclear plant operators, or the alleged exodus to that extent. What is the current status of the nuclear operators, seeing that we hear from time to time all over the show that we lack capacity and or expertise within that field in our country? What is the current status of the nuclear operators? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Gulmarens, and now let's go to Honorable Isaac.
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, colleagues, and everybody else present on the meeting. Chairperson, yeah, I was going to raise the issue regarding the steam generators, but that has been covered, so I will not go there. And of course, the issue on the diesel also was raised by Honorable Milam. Chair, then I'll just be brief in that I'd like to just check on two items. The one was the report spoke of the Komati power station and the rebuilding, etc., and the issue of the jobs there being at stake. My question is, how far are we in terms of the planning with the Komati power station, and what exactly is going to then become of those individuals that might run the risk of losing their jobs, because that would create a huge, huge impact on the area of Komati, which I know pretty well, having grown up in Mpumalanga. The other issue, Chairperson, is the report stated that there were some 19 units on unplanned outages, and some were supposed to have become back online towards the latter part of September, a few early in October. So we're almost there. It's now almost end of September. And of course, I wanted to find out exactly, are we on track in terms of those 19 units that are now currently on unplanned outages? What is the position? How many maybe will we see come on track within the next 7 to 14 days? Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Honorable. Honorable Gumede.
Chair, thank you very much, Chair. And I'm almost covered, Chair, apart from the fact that I'm very touched and sensitive that at this critical moment we begin to discuss issues of dispute within the work environment. Eskom is facing quite a lot of challenges. As much as we don't oppose the consequence management, but at times these things are to be viewed in a very positive sense, that we want to resolve challenges that are faced by the people outside. Uma nje sithenge sika elijikayo is mhlambe could be how much the whole project cost, and how much has already been paid to the contractor, and the payment that has been given to the contractor, is it commensurate to the work that the contractor has done? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Honorable Gumede. Let's move to Honorable Bilankulu. Honorable Bilankulu. I think she's not there. We move to Comrade, Honorable Lorima.
My hand wasn't up, no comments, thank you.
Okay. Honorable Malinga.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Greetings to the Chairperson's members of the Portfolio Committee, ESCOM, personnel on call, and the board, and everybody on the call, including our secretaries. Chair, I am mostly covered by the question posed by colleagues on the platform, but Chairperson, I take very serious offense on the GCEO statement that NUM was not supposed to elevate their issues to us. What is wrong with NUM elevating their issues to us? Because we are doing oversight over state entities. Chair, I don't think we're going to do justice because we're doing a rush job given the programming of parliament that has changed, because we will be so the sigil jigayo nje chair singangeni odabeni. I think there is a lot that is happening in that plan, Chair, at Quebec. So I want to put a proposal to the platform that we, the two committees, dedicate a day to go and investigate all these things that are happening cited by NUM, whether the responses that are given by ESCOM, they are really worth the paper and the ink they are written on. So that will be my submission, Chair. But let us dedicate the whole day to go to Quebec, because we are seeing the scam test. Load shedding is happening. We are on stage 6, but they said they did not want to defer whatever because they would be load shedding. But we are currently load shed. So their reasoning is not assisting us. So that is my submission, Chair. But let us dedicate a day, go and do our own investigation as legislators at Quebec. Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Linga. Honorable Matokwe.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chair. I think most of the issues that I wanted to raise, they have been covered by
Honorable Madokwe, I'm not sure whether it's me who doesn't hear you or you just disappeared. You've got a problem of connectivity.
They exhausted internal processes. Sorry, I heard someone speaking. Chair, what's happening? Should I continue?
No, continue. You disappeared for quite some time. I can give you to start from the beginning because nobody heard you, I think so.
Okay, I apologize for that. I'm having issues with network here because of load shedding, but I'm going to continue nonetheless. The first issue that I was raising was that the comment, or rather the response from ESCOM, that NUM should not have raised the issues or they they should not have raised the issues in Parliament. I think that they've raised the issues a number of times internally, which is what they've said as well. And I'm of the view that the issues that MUM is raising, whether they were raised in Parliament or not, they've been raised over a number of times. They're important issues, and they ESCOM should have actually responded to them. My understanding is that what is being raised here today was first raised at the oversight in April. It was raised again in August when we had the portfolio committee, and we should actually get answers. And one of the very important issues that are being raised, which are of concern, is actually the exodus of scarce skills, or rather of experienced engineers, which I think is something that really needs to be taken into consideration, considering the fact that South Africa is facing an energy crisis. And what I'd like to understand, or what I'd like to hear from ESCOM, is whether are we really bleeding out these skills? Secondly, whether there is a plan to retain these guest skills, because I think even the presentations we're getting is that people are being called outside South Africa, and whether there are initiatives to actually train people, especially young people, so that they can actually bring in into the gap where we are actually lacking. And then the other one, which is of concern, is the issue of the Energy Crisis Committee, where we are told that some of the documents are classified and secretive, and that this is a presidential initiative. I think that the issue of load shedding or the energy crisis in South Africa, it concerns each and everyone. And ESCOM is the custodian of energy, of the energy issue in South Africa. They should know, and they should be able to account in terms of each and everything. We should not be told that there are documents or information that is classified. If anything, instead of us being told when the next load shedding should be, as South Africans, we demand, and we actually deserve to be told on a daily basis, or as soon as regularly as possible, what are the developments in relation to dealing with the issue of energy in South Africa. And I would actually want to support also the proposal by Honorable Malinga that we should actually look into actually going and camping at COBIC if needs be, so that we can actually get the answers and the solutions for our people.
Thank you, Honorable Matokwe. Honorable Jafta. Is Honorable Jafta here? Honorable Msimangu. Honorable Msimang? Okay. They are all not there. Then let me also hammer on this issue that all honorable members raised about the fact that it was not wrong, and it is not wrong for NUM to approach the legislative arm of the state if they have any matter that they think is important and is affecting the public. And ESCOM, I think ESCOM is spending a lot of money on legal advice. And I think that legal section is not supposed to tailor ESCOM and just defend ESCOM wherever without necessarily helping ESCOM to understand the legality and the legislations that we have, so that they can act within the correct parameters. To go to court and waste money on a simple thing, the fact that a person who is you can't just bureaucratize the matter of whistleblowing. Anyone, if he sees that is not safe, even if I was an ordinary worker there, if the matter that I'm having, I don't see it, that I will be protected by even the structure that we have there at ESCOM. If I think those structures won't be protective enough for me, I will go to a place, I will go to NPA, I will go to SIU, I will go to anywhere, I will go to Parliament. I can approach anyone whom I think I will be much more protected. I think the reason we have that whistleblower policy
is because we want to protect the person as much as we can, and we want the person to feel free and not be intimidated and not to find himself having to be isolated in that process. Therefore, without wasting a lot of time on this matter, members of this parliament and members of this portfolio committee, both mineral and public enterprises, they are correct. It's wrong for ESCOM to start being playing with us, bureaucratizing this process. They could jump all your processes that you have in place and go where they think they will be safe in terms of the fact that also people who were part of that have been isolated and suspended. That alone shows that even if they would have raised that, they would be working for ESCOM for now. And ESCOM is extremely wrong as far as we are concerned as members of this legislative arm of the state, the parliament. Secondly, I wanted to ask a question. Why was Quebec Generator Replacement Project suspended? You informed the public that the ESCOM was not ready, whereas NUM says you were protecting this French company that did not deliver on its contractual obligation. We want to know those issues. We don't want to know whether the person who reported that is wrong or right. You should spend a lot of time in trying to convince us against the allegations put by NUM to us, not to condition us or to direct us where to get that information and so on. We always getting information from ESCOM, and we trust that particular information we receive from ESCOM. Now, when that information is contested, whether in the public, whether within ESCOM, then we have to put that into test, and ESCOM has to pass that test by answering those particular questions head on. What is the total cost of the project, and how much was this Framatome company being paid thus far, and what work was done for those payments? Those are the questions that ESCOM should spend a lot of time answering. South Africa was forced to launch an IPP purchase program for about 1,000 megawatts due to low shedding, whereas ESCOM has decided to suspend maintenance of Quebec to August 2024. And now we are told that the license ends in 2024. Now, there is a lot in the public allegation that ESCOM, there is an agenda of just move away from nuclear without even looking at the impact of that losing and prioritize IPPs with particular economic interest. Therefore, that plays to that kind of allegation. One will be suspicious that perhaps the aim is for 2024 to arrive, so that at the end of the day, the license not being renewed and we do away with Quebec. Now, also, this thing is depriving the country of 920 megawatts of units. And to me, I don't think we will be in a position where we are today if those 920 megawatts were operating. If I am wrong, I would like the leadership or the executive to say, you are wrong. We would be in this crisis, even if we would have fixed those units at Quebec. That's my view. That I think we need to be answered, so that if we are wrong, and that is being rectified by ESCOM. Otherwise, to just come and counter by dealing with people who are raising issues of their comfort to us, as if one has, I mean, the executive has powers at ESCOM. Nobody will be free, even if it had its own mechanism to channel processes of discomfort. But if its executive can deal with those people. Therefore, I think we must be sensitive about this matter. The executive must respond to these issues raised by members. Let me go to you, Professor, who is the chair of the board, and then you give to your executive thereafter. Can I check if the chairperson is back, my co-chair? If he's back, he has something to say. Let me check if he's still here. Honorable Zipo.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not said that already. But look, I want to start from very quickly from where Honorable Malinga said. Prof and the GCEO, the first thing we must concede is that here we are dealing with a matter of national interest. It's not a matter that we look at it from a commercial transaction point of view. Two, I don't think we are dealing with whistleblowing. I think whilst we are grappling with the issue of finding a solution on the energy challenge and energy crisis that we have, some people share a view that there is a deliberate, and I think that's the issue, because if we suggest that it's about whistleblowing, well, then we're missing the point. When I looked at the issues that are raised by NUM, I see them as a contribution. I would have expected that the argument would say what NUM is arguing, they are missing point one, two, and three, and their understanding is different from yours on those bases. That's point two. Point three, anything that is done is run by suspicions. The same people or person who was directing us, who gave us to direct us when we were doing the tour, is the same person that subsequent to the visit by the committees is then said to be suspended. Surely you can't expect the Committee of Parliament, honorable members, to just accept your word that that person, when there was no hint at the time when we were there that there was an intention to deal with the areas of failure. The next question will be, there is something called, if we were to go through, a serious person in labor law would know that there is something when it comes to the matters of incapacity, that there are certain actions that you have to take before you go for punitive measures, including suspensions. Now, in this case, I don't get anything with the report that says these are the steps that we have taken with regard to the matter of incapacity. And therefore, that's when the suspicion will kick in. But most importantly, the issue says, as you continue to try and find a solution, here are the shortcomings that you will find it difficult to address the issues. And I think that's why I was saying I want to move from the premise of Honorable Malinga that maybe a full day, sit down, investigate each and everyone. Yes, you are correct. This committee can't deal with labor-related or labor-related matters. But this committee can't be blocked equally by labor-related matters to investigate issues that are being raised with regards to one policy, three, with regards to operations. And therefore, for me, the issue that is being raised by NUM is that in as much as you are addressing, you want to deal with policy issues, policy directions, you have got a crisis of operations that are not talking to this thing. And you, one of the things that you have missed even to address here is that how Framatome happened to enter the contract. How did you happen to end up in the Constitutional Court? And what happened in the initial bidding process, which then, by your allegations are that by your support, you were also party to that exercise. So I'm saying, if you want us to reduce this issue into labor relations, I think then it's a disservice to the actual argument. It is not a labor-related matter. I don't want to see the outcome of a disciplinary inquiry. I want to see something that says operational, for example, this is suspension of this person. Have you seen an improvement or there is a regression? I don't get that answer. There is a strong argument that, in fact, post the suspension, there's been a regression in the plan. So I think for me, let's not narrow, put it in narrow, as I agree with my colleague. There is nothing wrong even for an individual to appoint to approach a committee of parliament on a matter that person feels seriously that it will be an injustice not to attend or to acknowledge or to be aware of the other side of what has to be listened to. And when the committee is listening to that, it can't then be a stratified approach that we should have done 1, 2, and 3. Let's first respond on the issue and then we'll deal with mechanical approaches at a later stage. So until such time we deal with the substantive matter, and the substantive matter is about the performance and the issues that are internally within ESCOM. Lastly, on this thing, for instance, we may have to go deeper, that most definitely the more you've got units non-operational, the more demand for the supply of diesel. And exactly, it was you, Jesus, when I listened, that there is oil or syndicate that survived through this kind of an exercise. This committee can then fold, these two committees can fold arms and then say, this may not also be a mechanism to feed on the syndicate that survived on Disney. And I'm just saying, to understand the issue much broader, that this is a matter that is contributing on a national crisis, which is a matter that everyone is confronted with and is affected. So I wanted to say that, Chair, to say, I don't want us to be made to believe that this issue is narrowly a matter of labor relations. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Zippo. Can we go straight then to Professor and his team?
Thank you, Chair, and your co-chair. I think I've listened to a number of points raised by honorable members, and I will try and summarize the way I understand. I think your co-chair perhaps has summarized that maybe this matter is much deeper than simply a labor relations issue. And I think the proposal that it may be important, I think, for the committee to actually visit and spend a day or whatever time for themselves, I think, to probe into the broader issues that members of parliament have raised and come to their own conclusion, because I think it's my word against this word, and only, I think, a proper process of honorable members going to visit Quebec and interrogating all the issues that have been raised in whatever complaints there has been, that might give some satisfaction and a way forward. That is just my reading from what I've heard here. So I think the honorable member who suggested that maybe a day or so be spent and look into all these issues, you know, at face value and on hand, on site, it might bring some better clarity as to the situation. But I'll hand it over to the GCE. Maybe he has a different view of the way forward. But that's my reading of the situation, honorable members. Thank you. Andre?
Thank you very much, Professor. Honorable Chair, honorable members, I completely concur with what Prof. Nkoba has just said. I think that the matters raised by the committee deserve much more time than unfortunately we have available. Let me give the committee the assurance, as I actually said and also is contained in the document, that we fully respect the right of any citizen of South Africa to approach Parliament on whatever matter he or she deems fit. So let me be at pains to emphasize that I fully respect Parliament in this process. I do think, however, that we need to spend more time to ventilate these matters. ESCOM definitely is not anti-nuclear. We are pro-nuclear. Otherwise, we wouldn't be pursuing this life extension project. And we were welcome the opportunity to extensively ventilate all of the issues raised and ask any answer any further questions that any member of the committee might have. Honourable Chair, I think that the proposal made by honourable members to spend a full day is the appropriate one, and it's the, with respect, I fully concur that that is the right way forward.
Thank you. Let me give it to Honourable Lozebo to take over.
Shwani, I don't say the chair. Look, I don't know, Chair. I wanted us to be guided by the, agree that we were guided by the Secretariat, but secondly, agree that with the instruction also from the Speaker's office through the House Chair, that we include, instead of separating, deal with this as part of the work of the instruction to look at the overall energy crisis and report back to the Speaker's office. So, amongst other things, will be to deal with the issue of the one-day visit, but also where possible, can we ask, request the, based on this discussion, the committee research and content advisors to prepare specific areas to zoom on and not reduce only to Quebec. But I think Quebec one, it has to be investigated now on the basis that it is a completely new evidence, new information that comes post the visit of the committee. If honorable members have, I wanted to suggest that, Chair, then we may come back with the date as a matter of principle on a full day, and then also on the need to do the finalization of the overall task on the energy crisis as instructed by the speaker, Speaker's office. I'm not sure whether that will not suffice for honorable members. Obviously, there is some degree of agency that is needed. And I think I wanted to leave there, Chair, if honorable members agree, then we can adjourn the meeting exactly at the appropriate time that we had anticipated to adjourn the meeting with the note of that way forward suggested.
Yes, that's correct, Co-Chair. Honourable members, I think at that point we will have to adjourn our meeting with the understanding and the summary presented by Honorable Lozebo. One, we must be preparing ourselves, and the Secretariat will be taking that process forward, preparing to go to Quebec and other power stations in order to get a sense of the problems that are there. I think that's in essence what we are agreeing to do in order to take this process forward. I don't know whether I'm speaking in the, because I don't see a hand that seemed to have a problem with us adjourning now and wait until the Secretariat present us with a way forward, which include date and the every logistic that needed to be in place. Honorable Mila, I saw your hand.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, this is the second meeting that has been adjourned without the questions of members being answered. And I'd like some clarity from you as to when we can expect answers to the questions that have been raised by members. Thank you.
At the beginning, I had a similar understanding with you, but I felt that let's take this as an ongoing process. This is not an end of this session. I think we are agreeing here that the Secretariat, including with the assistance of the will taking us to Quebec and other places where all these questions will be dealt and finalized. I don't think, looking at the executive, it was prepared enough to answer all the questions that came. Hence the suggestion and the way forward presented by Honorable Zippo. I think it's in that context.
Can I add, Chair?
Yes.
Just to say, the difference, Honorable Mellon, is that the form it takes now, it's investigative in nature. It therefore means the questions that we have asked, even if they were to be answered now, we will have to then come back and seek more clarity on them. That's why we then, in a full day, it means if we go to Quebec, we start at 9. And with these questions that would have been pointers from the word go for ESCOM, then in that platform, we won't be then saying 10:30, we have to go because the meeting is adjourning. If they answer, they give us an answer, you are not happy. It's more like it's not just an engagement. It's now about facts on the table, and then we are able to move forward. We take note, that's why I said when we were meeting, it's unfortunate that every time when we meet, there is something that comes in. And if now we are granted time to go, especially to Quebec, we will deal with everything, every question. If we start at 9, we must be prepared to leave at 5 or 6, as long as we would have exhausted the work with regards to this matter. That's why I was saying, the manner that it is raised now is no longer the same way it was raised even before. I'm not sure whether that suffices, Chair.
I hear you. I think no one to yeah, but he understands where we come from.
Chair.
With that word, the Honourable Members.
Before you close, Chair.
Was there? Okay.
Yes, thank you very much, Chair. Chair, this is just a plea again to ESCOM. On the day that we will be visiting, the planned day that we will be visiting ESCOM for an oversight again, we plea that we are treated like legislatures. You know, after what transpired on our last day, on April, on our last oversight, you know, which was not very pleasant. You know, we plead that we are treated like beings, not just trespassers who came without notice there or without permission to the premises. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Langa. Thank you also for raising that. I think they have captured that well. Honorable members, I think the meeting is... Thank you so much to the executive and to everybody.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.